Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. How are you? All you beautiful Yinzers out there, we appreciate every single one of you. Welcome in to Kabali and Mac alongside internet superstar and Steelers beat reporter for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Kabali.
That's what I say to that.
Timing. Oh my God.
That's what I say to that.
That's all I got to say. Bye. Everybody tell me I was asleep during Palm. Tomlin's pressure.
I just
built. I wanted to sleep. Leave me alone. We've even got. So, did you see shot I sent you this morning?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Did I cut out there for a second? You weren't paying attention. Okay.
No, I wasn't paying attention to what you sent me.
We can go take a peek at it. Don't mention who it's from, but thanks as always to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, the presenting sponsors of Kabali and Mac on YouTube at Kabali and Mac, of course, on X, streaming live there as well, which, by the way, we should probably get that out there for people on the old X show account now that we have, Kabali and Mac. And that is where we are live, as well as on Facebook, Instagram. We're everywhere here. Kaboom. We're everywhere. What is the drink of choice today, by the way? What are you sipping on there?
That's what I had an issue with. I couldn't find my cup, so I got the For the Brand, whatever.
Okay. What's in there?
And I do my mixed drink of half iced tea, unsweetened iced tea, half Diet Verner's ginger ale, old man drink.
Wow.
And the damn thing exploded because I threw the whole thing of pop in there and it exploded all over the place, all over the floor, over my face.
We can't leave you home alone for more than 15 minutes. Like it's a disaster. If you've inadvertently covered your home in old man diet ginger ale, by all means, you're looking for a new one, go to heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. Heckteamhomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you find maybe that forever home, maybe that starter home. Just get out of the place you're in now and move someplace better. Move into Kabali's neighborhood there. You could always do that. There's a house for sale right across the street I drove by the other day.
You're creeping me or something.
Yes, that's exactly what that's how I spend what little free time I have, Kaboom, is creeping on you. You weren't even home the last 3 days. So...
Four days,
whatever it was. You were busy hanging out with all the big boys, hanging out with Guy Fieri in Florida.
That makes
Look at
it
you.
Even creepier, driving past my house when nobody, you know that I'm not home.
Shut up. I stopped by the day before you left and you know it. Stop trying to make me seem like a total weirdo. I'm only a partial weirdo. Welcome in. We got plenty to talk about today. Not the least of which is how we expect this to all work out once it's done and finalized. And Aaron Rodgers is in fact the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, which is inching. I say this every time, inching closer and closer and closer to officially being the deal, a little bit more every day, especially in light of the working out with DK Metcalf that we saw in LA. I know what Ben Roethlisberger said on his podcast the other day. I don't think Ben's totally wrong either. If you missed it, Kaboom, he said he still thinks Aaron is secretly holding out that Minnesota should change their minds, the Vikings come knocking, and maybe he lands there rather than here in Pittsburgh. Why else would he have not signed yet? And I don't think that's a completely crazy idea. It's been out there for a few weeks. It's not, no shade at Ben, but it's not exactly a novel theory. People have been kicking that around for a while now. And so, look, until he actually signs on the dotted line and gets introduced and stands there and takes some pictures next to Art and Omar and Mike T, we sit and we wait.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that at all about the Minnesota issue. I think that would – I know he might not care that much, but, boy, that would harm his person – not his personality, but his feelings around the league towards him even more. You're just holding out, using a team, you know, with the clout of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, what I've gleaned is it's all but a done deal. It might happen at some point next week.
Like Wednesday.
On Wednesday. It's not going to happen anytime this week, I know of, at least not officially. But it could go the next week or so. I don't think there's any interest in the Vikings right now at all. I don't think that's the case. I think that would do more harm than good if you're sitting there waiting. What are you talking to have? You're talking about having opening yourself up for criticism. I mean, just sit there.
Oh, yeah.
Mess with the Pittsburgh Steelers just to, you know.
Well, I don't think, here's the thing.
Potentially better to come down this road. I don't believe it.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers gives a shit, though, what anybody thinks?
I don't think anybody gives a shit. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't give a shit. I'm sure that Mike Tomlin doesn't give a shit. A lot of people don't care. So,
but that's my point. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care if everybody in Pittsburgh ends up hating him because he played them for a month and then went to Minnesota if that opportunity came up.
Russ would care about his stroke within the league and his how people might view him. But I don't – honestly, I think that would be the longest of long, long, long shots that even if Minnesota would come calling now, I just don't think it is. I think that Steelers know that he's coming there, and they're just letting him work on his own timeline for whatever reason we do not know. But I do not believe it's the Vikings. I think it's just a matter of time of putting pen to paper and get here. I mean, I think he has a – I mean, if everything goes right, if he stays healthy with our big ifs, that he could have a successful season here and go out with, you know, a little bit of wiping what happened the last couple of years in New York off the table and saying
cleaning up the legacy a little bit.
Maybe that means more to him. It has to mean a little bit to him. He doesn't want to go out like this. So I don't think it's a sure bet fire thing that he goes to Minnesota if that was the case and all of a sudden they would be better.
Well, but you do agree, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger making the point, we've made the point here, I guess I have, other people have made the point, again, it's not a novel concept, that the only reason that could conceivably make sense outside of deciding to retire to not have signed a contract with the Steelers yet would be the idea of waiting for something else to open up. Like that's the only other thing he's waiting to retire, take a deal somewhere else. And those are the only two options, unless he's literally sitting there in a yogi position going, waiting for the right sign from the universe to tell him to sign.
I think what we saw last weekend or whenever it was with the Metcalf throwing the retirements off the table. He wouldn't be wasting his time. I mean, some of the selected shots that made public there, he looked like he's still a top 15 to 20 quarterback. Doesn't look like he's a guy that decrepit. I don't see why he would. To me, that just says the retirement thing is just gone. He's going to play, and I probably put it at 9. Well, I hate putting it at percentage because people love percentages.
Yeah.
I put it this way. I believe the Steelers believe it's a 99% chance.
Good way to couch that. That's nice. you believe, that the Steelers believe. Brian Garrett, one of our favorite YouTube commenters, a.k.a. Pony's Burner, wants to know if Zambelli's going to lay off fireworks at Big Night Out when they announce Rodgers is a Steeler. And Justin E., another one of our top commenters on the YouTube live stream, wants to know if you're going to walk out on the stage with Rodgers Wednesday night and throw up the ones, bloodline style.
Well, I can pretty much guarantee that I will not be on the stage. I might be
You're not on the stage.
Oh, there ain't no way. I might be up in one of those suites or something, but that's maybe the extent of it.
I mean, Pat needs to understand the drawing cards here in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, guys,
he needs to know how popular you are.
Guys like WWE superstars, movie stars, professional athletes, and me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You belong up there.
Who doesn't belong there?
No. All of these things are just like the other. You're internet famous now, Mark. I mean, you need to just roll with it.
That's just me. Jackass.
I didn't plan on talking about this. Oh, by the way, speaking of next Wednesday, this relates back to the text that I sent you this morning. Big guest next Wednesday. We'll let you guys speculate about it all weekend long, but he's already taken shots at Mark in the chat.
I didn't even think that he was that much of a smart ass, but apparently he is.
He is. I'm not telling anybody who it is. How many hints should we give away? We'll announce who it is on Monday, but I want people to
figure it out is just look at your face.
What's that mean?
You're very excited over this guest.
Yeah, I am. You're not?
Well, depending where he came from.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. He's from New England.
Oh, you just gave it away?
I didn't give anything away. He's from
here comes Justin E. Pony's Burner with about 12 guesses. Here it comes.
Yep. So
well, here's the question.
I texted this big time guest this morning and just double checked that they were going to be available next Wednesday to come on the show for a little bit. And, you know, reminded them what time and, you know, I'd send them the link and all that kind of stuff.
So you were bothering him. Okay.
I was not bothering him. I was double checking. And he said, yes, sir. Still works for me. Hopefully Kabali doesn't fall asleep during it. LOL. Man.
That LOL really made up for it. That's at least 3 to 4. And that's at least 4 people of that ilk that have reached out and said something smart ass. Very similar.
That tells you just how far and wide.
Well, here's my question here. Do you think this guest on Wednesday, which should have been yesterday, but I was traveling.
Uh-huh. Good way to screw it up.
Moves all the way up to number one on our list.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a question for Relaxed Styles, who compiles the guest list rankings. It is not Boston Connor. Several people have suggested that in the chat. Bill Burr is being suggested. Ben Affleck, no. No, not Mike Vrabel. None of those.
See Vrabel at the owner's meeting, and he looks like he could just, you know, take down Solo Sikoa right now.
He's jacked, isn't he?
Boom. I looked at one of my former colleagues and said, there's Mike Vrabel. He covers the Patriots. He goes, son of a bitch. That means I got to go talk to him now. I'm like, he has to be better than the last coach you had to deal with.
Seriously.
The last coach to deal with.
Yeah.
That's true. You know what? I did get my ass beat in the old Joey bag of donuts thing. I'm very disappointed in you guys. I mean, just should have made it close. I got absolutely ramrod.
Really? Well, I've stopped paying attention to that thing. What? I didn't really pay attention at all this year anyway. So
I know, because you weren't involved. You got bumped.
Right. I didn't make the tournament, I guess. I don't know.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Donuts, no respect for the Mac.
No respect. There are some people I've never heard of on the thing before. But I'm trying to see what the final number was. I mean, I got absolutely
scorched by the super genius.
Yeah, he destroyed me. You know, once you think you have it all figured out.
Just when you think a guy's, you know, nearing the end of the career, about to fall off, he has a resurrection season, like maybe Aaron Rodgers this year. Maybe that's what that was for Double M.
Just when you think you know the answers, I changed the questions. Right.
So, big guest on.
I just know I got whipped.
Big guest next Wednesday morning. And who knows? Maybe by then we'll be talking to that guest about the new Steelers quarterback. It will not be the new Steelers quarterback. The guest is not Aaron Rodgers. I know, breaking news there. But speaking of Aaron Rodgers, before we get to that, I do want to thank another one of our key sponsors here at Cabali and Mac, our friends at Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Poor Don rain yesterday. Your yard may be a giant muddy mess. Totally understand. You may have been trying to get that yard to look beautiful for years, and let's be honest, it's just not going to happen because of where you live, and you don't have hours upon hours and thousands upon thousands of dollars to spend on your grass. In that case, go to southwestgreenspa.com. Give Jake a call. Tell him that Cabali and Mac sent you. They will come out and tell you exactly what they can do for your yard vis-a-vis. That's a fancy word, a fancy term for in regards to, I think. I don't know. I'm just going.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Going with it at this point, an artificial surface in your yard, whether it's a little tiny corner of the yard for the kids to play in, for you to putt in. Yeah, they can put a little putting green in your backyard, around the kids' play area, a spot around the pool maybe if you have one, whatever, the whole yard. They'll put it in. It'll look and feel real, and it'll also, here's the important part, be the best-looking yard in the neighborhood, and you won't have to mow it. You won't have to maintain it. You won't have to water it in the middle of summer when it doesn't rain for 3 weeks, all that stuff. SouthwestGreensPA.com is the place to go. You're going to turn on golf next weekend when it's the Masters. You're going to be like, oh, look how beautiful that grass is. You could have something just as beautiful in your yard and not have to pay all that money to water and maintain and landscape and all that stuff. Go to SouthwestGreensPA.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring Cabali and Mac. So you have a serious concern, Kaboom.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at this. The Final Four is Mark Madden versus Bill Hillgrove and Dan Potash versus Bob Pompeiani.
Danny Poe made it to the Final Four. Good for him. Potash is a phenomenal human being. He deserves everything and then some.
I still can't find out if how bad I got my ass kicked.
Okay, whatever. You lost.
In the comments, figure it out. How bad I got my
ass kicked. Nobody's keeping count. Anyway, you have a serious concern about Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith getting together on this offense and what it's going to look like. I mean, I have
a concern, but it's definitely a topic of conversation.
Well, because here's the deal. Let's run through the offensive coordinators, coaches, slash play callers that Rodgers has worked with throughout his career. First of all, the first dozen years were with Mike McCarthy, Greenfield's finest. Then a couple years with Nate, not so great Hackett. Then the final year in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur was the play caller, I believe. And then the first year in New York doesn't really count because he played four plays. Last year, it was Nate Hackett before he finally got stripped of play calling duties as well. So he's not a guy who's changed play callers a lot. And certainly during the peak of his career, it was just basically one or two guys that he worked with. Guys that he became very comfortable with, even if he didn't end up liking them in the end, like he did with McCarthy. He was worked with McCarthy, knew how McCarthy worked. McCarthy knew how he worked. Same went for Hackett when he worked with him. And this is going to be an entirely new relationship. I know it's a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback, but it's going to be interesting to see how he exerts his influence on Arthur Smith's offense.
I mean, pretty much, I think You're going to have to let Aaron Rodgers have a good amount of input on this team. I mean, the old leopard doesn't change his spots, right? He's been, he is what he is. He's good at what he does. It is now Arthur Smith's job to adapt to what he does. And I think Arthur Smith is talented enough, smart enough, and is a good enough coordinator to be able to do that. Now the question is when it's second and goal with the two and he changes it to a run play because he wants a 2-yard touchdown, does Arthur Smith get pissed off? I mean, because it's like, let's run the ball. Let's not. That's the dynamic you have to worry about, I think, more than anything else. I think they'll be able to put together a scheme. They'll be able to work together. I mean, Arthur Smith is now realizing he's working with a surefire Hall of Famer, maybe one of the best 5 quarterbacks that ever played the game. So he better figure it out how to work with him. So I don't think that's going to be a problem until, you know, until it is a problem. Right?
Well, I'm also curious to see, like, you know, Russell Wilson was a really good quarterback in his prime, right? Arthur Smith didn't seem all that interested in adjusting his offense to suit peak Russell Wilson. He wanted to adjust his offense, and I understand why, to what Russell Wilson is now. And I got to think he's going to go into this thing. Who knows? I'm sure they hashed some of this out, maybe a little bit, when they talked last Friday for 6 hours. But I would think Arthur Smith is going to look at present-day Aaron Rodgers and say, okay, I'm not changing everything in this offense to suit peak Aaron Rodgers. I've got to kind of build this thing to facilitate what Aaron Rodgers can still, what he's still capable of now. This isn't 2019 Aaron Rodgers.
You're going to have 4 to 5 different strong personalities in that room, starting with game plans. I mean, if you got Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith, you got 2 previous coordinators and the very well-respected Mike Sullivan, Eddie Faulkner that's been around and done that. Even Tom Arth to a point where being a quarterback coach, then you have to take into effect the Mike Tomlin effect. I mean, how much was it last year? And I don't know this question. I'm just answer to it. I'm throwing it out there. How much was Arthur Smith hampered by what Mike Tomlin said? Hey, we are this kind of team. You create an offense around this. What we want to do here is run the ball. Don't turn the ball over. Don't make mistakes. Something tells me there's more to that than Arthur Smith just saying, hey, so, listen to what I'm saying. I know best. I think it might be under the big umbrella of the scheme of the entire offense and how Tomlin wanted it to run.
Well, this actually might bring me back around to maybe this is better for – well, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is better for the offense, even if it's just – by a small margin than Russell Wilson was. But this might be better for the offense in so much as maybe Mike Tomlin backs away from it a little bit because it is a future Hall of Fame quarterback, right? I don't know if that's the case or not, but if it gives if Mike Tomlin, I think he is much more likely to look at it if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback and say, man, I got a, 4-time MVP, future Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'm going to just back away and let these guys cook on the offensive side. Not to say he won't have any input at all, but he might be a lot more inclined to take a half step back and let Artie and Aaron Rodgers come up with the offensive game plan. And maybe that's what's best for Rodgers at this point in his career and does unlock some things in an Arthur Smith offense that, to your point, might have felt a little handcuffed at times last year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once again, I'm more distracted trying to find out Joey Bag of Donuts.
Jesus Christ, Mark, let it go.
Well, no, here's a good thing. I lost 62% to 38, but the good thing about it is I got more votes than Jason Mackey did over Bill Hillgrove and more than Josh Getzoff over Bob Pompiani. So it gives me a – but Starkey almost beat the Potash. So I'm basically the number 6, but I'm disappointed in you guys. I got whipped. All right, what were you saying now?
Can you put that away now, please?
You're the one that brought up the Joey Bag of Donuts.
No, you did. You did.
You wonder why I get distracted and my facial expressions go goofy and people think I'm sleeping because you're distracting me.
Nobody distracted you. You brought up the stupid Joey Bag of Donuts Pittsburgh sports media bracket. You did too.
No, I didn't. Maybe I brought it up that you weren't in it.
More accurately, someone in the chat brought it up, and you can't resist reading the chat, just like you can't resist reading all the comments online claiming you were asleep. Oh. You can't let it go.
They just pop up and you happen to see them.
Oh, my God.
I don't care if I lost to Madden. Madden's like a legend.
Keep talking about it. I'll just do this.
Hey, I mean, we ain't your average podcast here, man. We don't follow the rules. We do what we do.
So the point I was trying to make while you were –
I can't believe I lost. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I could reach through this camera right now. The point I was trying to make is that with a future Hall of Fame quarterback in place, you know, maybe Mike T does allow himself to back away from the offensive game plan just a little bit.
He better. I mean, he knows. I think he can see the writing on the wall, or I don't know if he can. I'm contradicting myself. I mean, just over my goofy meme that he had no idea that this thing was even a thing. Which almost takes me to the point of, I don't think he knows one thing's being said about him publicly if it's questioning him, the organization, or any of his decisions. So maybe there isn't a sense of urgency in his fact, that in his mind, that he needs to be able to change what he does. He should, honestly, and I don't think he's going to because he has to be involved in everything. He should let those guys just deal what they do. Just maybe pop your head and say, guys, good. Okay, see ya. But he's not going to do that.
Do you think that's – I know he'd never admit to this, but do you think that's the pressure of wanting to get back to where this franchise is expected to be? Like, it's been 15 years since a trip to the Super Bowl. Do you think he looks at it and goes – and do you think this is like – Mike Tomlin, again, would never admit to this in a million flipping years. But is this his way of trying to deal with it by becoming more of a control freak? Because early in his career, he had really strong coordinators, right? You had LeBeau. You had guys who he would – Haley at one point, who he would, I would assume, let them do their thing, let them cook. And now, to your point, He's got to have his hands on it. And we saw it on Hard Knocks. He's talking about this. He's talking about that. He's in everything. I get it. He's the head coach. He can do that if he wants to.
That's the thing. He's been around 18 years. And you are the most tenured coach in the league. You are the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I mean, They might be the Rooney's team, but you're Mike Tomlin. You probably feel the need, the responsibility to be involved in everything because anything that goes wrong is your fault. So he might be actually feeling the more pressure to be more involved, the lesser being successful because, you know, that's all he's learned. There's been so much turnover in 18 years. I should go back and look. I mean, who's still around in the organization from 18 years ago other than, you know, Art and Omar, I guess.
John Mitchell count? I mean.
Who's that?
John Mitchell count?
Yeah, he's not around. John Mitchell.
That's what I mean. Like, he's technically still on the staff, but he's maybe not Tom around Bradley, every day.
The doctor. I mean, that's it. Everybody else is turned over. Well, maybe not Burt Loudon. I think he was.
No, Burt's never gone.
So, Burt's talking. I mean, we're talking about there's five people in the entire organization that have been there longer than him, and a couple of them own it.
Yeah. So, I guess.
A lot of power there, man. I mean, it's a lot of power, a lot of responsibility.
But if he's there should come some self-actualization, some self-realization as well, where you're like, oh, man, I've been around forever and we've been steady, but like I haven't ultimately gotten back to where everybody in this town wants us to be. Is there self-evaluation going where he says, okay, it worked. Maybe it worked a bit better when I took a step back. But maybe he's only willing to do that if he feels like he can fully trust the coordinator quarterback combo. And maybe ultimately that's what Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith are because, well, It's Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer.
Imagine the year's 2040, and we've been doing this podcast for 15 years, and a young and up-and-coming whippersnapper comes in and says, Mac, you're not doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take some power away from you. You're going to be like, right there, brother, right there.
Yeah.
Right? That's, I mean, it's
– Or right? I'm smart. I listen to the feedback.
Would you? Would you?
I did at the very least listen, right? I'd go, And then I'd look at the level of success that the young whippersnapper has had and say, if it's worked for young whippersnapper, maybe it might work for me.
I'd be like, man, you were, you know, wiping your butt and wiping snot on your face, and I was doing this job. Don't tell me what the, what's the old, what was that movie from? Point Break.
Oh.
When he says, you were something to the Sears catalog and wiping poop on your face, and that was in this division. Very similar, right?
Yeah. Not. I don't see. I think if you're really going to be a great, then you understand the balance between that and listening to outside opinions. I don't know if that's what's happening or not. Or
you know, imagine a kid in like sixth grade right now who comes up at whatever, 25 years old, said, Mac, you old geezer. You're doing it all wrong. I know. You'd be like, dude, you have no clue. I don't even know what your name is.
My kid's in sixth grade and tells me that already. So yeah, what the hell is the difference? And you know what? In 10 years, he might know better than me. In 5 years, he might know better.
But that's fine. He might know more than you, but you're not going to accept that.
If he proves to me that what he thinks he knows is working, hell yeah, I'll buy into it. I'm not too good for that.
Speaking of that, is the daughter's boyfriend saw we were ripping on him at
he
all?
He didn't say anything about it last night. He came over. He didn't say anything. So I'm thinking he's not a regular enough viewer, a consumer of Kabali and Mac, which has me concerned.
Yes, he needs to. How's he going to take over this empire in the year 2045, right?
He's not the one taking it over. Don't worry. It'll be the boy. We'll see.
I mean, who would be my version? Can you imagine the 2045 version, my kid and your kid taking over this?
No.
We'll be talking about YouTube and...
Yeah, well, you may have noticed, Mark, we stream on YouTube already, so...
No, we don't watch that goofy stuff where people, like, push crayons through a press and pops out and all that crap. You know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me you don't.
Yeah, he doesn't watch as much of that crap anymore because he actually what's disturbing, and this is total seriousness, is he'll be walking through the house watching his phone, right? Or he'll come downstairs from his room. He's watching his phone because that's what they do now at this age. They walk around literally watching their phone the whole time. And he's walking around watching his phone. And if he doesn't have his headphones on or his earbuds in, he'll be and I'll hear you or me talking like he's watching the show. And I'm like, dude, like I already had to sit through this once with Kabali. I don't need to hear it again. Go get your headphones on.
Now he's definitely going to listen now if it's.
If, what? If it's more you bitching about winning the Joey Bag of Donuts bracket?
If we know he's talking about, we're talking about him. You just got to start questioning the daughter's taste in boys if he's not watching.
She'll be fine. Stuff. She's smart.
Watching the show.
I get it. Relax. The kids, maybe the kid's actually doing homework or like reading a book or something. Maybe he's smart. How about that?
My kid goes to the library and so happy with all the books he gets and they never leave his backpack. I'm like, why do you even get them?
I'm one of those people. Yeah. I'll go through those phases where I check a book out of the library. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to read this. No. It sits there on the nightstand for 3 weeks and then I return the thing.
And instead you're like, on your phone doing brackets or mock drafts.
Mock drafts. Yeah, people want mock drafts, by the way. This is the second time Josh has commented already during today's show. Any Steelers draft analysis or Steelers mock drafts coming soon? Come on, Kaboom. People want the mock drafts.
Yeah, I did one mock draft a couple weeks ago, and I call it mock making it up.
Well, of course you're guessing. It's exactly right, but... That's kind of part of the process.
You can pretty much get the feel now. I mean, they're having more and more visitors. I haven't checked if any visitors came through today. I think there will be, but I don't think they've been announced yet. So you can pretty much get a read on what they're like. I still think it's going to be defensive tackle if, number one. If everything is there, then you can move on to running back slash wide receiver after that.
I think there's a couple different paths they can go. And Justin brings up the point that, yes, there are more and more mock drafts. Field Yates of ESPN put one out yesterday. Again, had the Steelers going quarterback at 21 with Jackson Dart. What?
I think that's his real name.
Field Yates.
Field.
I mean, if it wasn't his real name, why would he use that as his real name?
This is coming from you now. Come on now.
No, I'm serious.
I see Chris Mack right there.
Well, no, there's a real simple explanation for why I don't use my legal last name. Do you want me to give the story?
I don't know. Maybe ask Brian Garrett. He seems to have a lot of opinions. No, go ahead. I have no idea.
The story is real simple. The first time I ever went on the air in college, which was up in State College, at the illustrious Beaver 103, which, yes, was really the name of the radio station. I can't make this shit up, man. So I trained for a couple weeks. And this is like the top 40 station in State College. At that point in time, this is like 99, 2000. Shibuzi. No Shibuzi. They're playing like Britney Spears. They're playing like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. They're playing Eminem. And what was the one? That Blue Dabba Dee song. Blue Dabba Dee Babba Dabba. Oh, like ever, crap you, like you that.
Ever, you ever see that meme or that reel?
I have no idea.
Where the guy saying.
Could you be any more vague?
Well, I can't really say it because it's kind of dirty of a kid mispronouncing the words there.
I'll have to look it up, or you send it to me if you're really that afraid to talk
everybody
about it.
Everybody, well, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, Rick just threw it in the comments. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I haven't
never seen that.
Sorry.
That's what it is.
No. Anyway, so I'm working before I go on the air the first time. My legal last name, and lots of people know this already, it's not a big deal. Sorley, S-O-R-L-E-Y, like Marty McSorley without the Mick at the front. So the first time I went to go on the air.
More like Marty McFly.
Just like that, yeah. So the first time I went on the air, I was like, well, Chris Sorley is just going to all sort of slur together. I'm not going to do that. And there was a girl in eighth grade who was convinced. She's a very nice girl, but she was also a little ditzy at times. Anyway, she was convinced my last name was really Swirly. Like, you know how you give someone a swirly in the toilet, you know, dunk their heads in the toilet.
We didn't do that at Bell Vernon.
I'm sure you didn't. But they, so I just was, they asked me, what are you going to use your real name? What's it going to be? I was like, I'll go with, and I'm just trying to think up names here. I was like, how about Chris Mack? How about that? And literally, I said that to the guy who was on before me, and he turned his mic on. He's like, hey, I'm Glenn Turner. I'm getting out of here. Chris Mack is up next. And it just stuck at that point. I was like, well, I'm not changing it now. It's been 25 years since that first time I went on the air in State College. Yeah. So,
see, that's funny. We should have called it the Mack and Mack Show because my initials are M-A-K.
That would have confused the hell out of everybody because they'd be like, what's no, we shouldn't do that. No,
hey, the comments are really liking Rick Barry's his help of the program. You've seen that, right?
I haven't. Honestly, I would have known what you were talking about.
The guy driving the car looks and goes, dude, really?
That's amazing. Got to thank Impact HVAC as well for sponsoring Kabali and Mac. You want to get your AC tuned up later this spring before it gets hot this summer. Maybe something craps out. It's not working. Whether it's an emergency call, a tune-up, maintenance, whatever it may be, you can give them a call. Number there is on the screen, 412-297-1852. Or just go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Tony and the guys will hook you up and get you going in the right direction, whatever you may need. So I'm all into the mock drafts stuff. I know you hate it, but like, I from what I've gathered, just playing around with mock drafts, reading other people's mock drafts, it strikes me there's like three paths the way things are shaking out. Because it sounds like, I think today is the Colorado pro day, by the way. So Shedeur Sanders, I think, is going to throw there.
It's not called pro day, by the way.
What's it called?
It's Deion's calling it something else. Because I was talking to Steve, what's his name? Steve Weiss, is that his name?
From NFL Network?
He was at our dinner on Tuesday, and he says, yeah, we're not allowed to call it pro day. He's calling it something. I forget what it is.
Well, whatever Deion wants to call it, it's Colorado's pro day today out in Boulder.
It's a two-day thing? Is that what it is?
You're the reporter. You were literally just all around,
and I don't think they're taking Shedeur Sanders because I'm not really interested then. Once again.
Anyway, all the mock drafts, you know, there was a time where Shador's draft stock was slipping just a little bit. Seems more and more like he's still probably going top 10. Ashton Jeanty going to go early. I think it was the Raiders GM. Was it on McAfee the other day? Was basically saying his kid told him they've got to take Jeanty or else his kid's going to like disown him.
I think he needs to watch Hard Knocks and make sure that happens from last year.
And Omarion Hampton, I've seen mocked to the Broncos right before the Steelers pick. So my point is this. They'll have a couple of options at 21. They can go D-line and get the best D-line available at that point. You know, one of the two or three best D-linemen in the draft, really. I know we talked about Derek Harmon from Oregon. Other people are talking about him. They could do that. They might even be able to trade back a couple picks if anybody's interested in going 21 and still take that guy. They could probably trade back even farther and still get a wide receiver they like, whether it's Luther Burden, Emeka Egbuka. I don't know. That's a possibility. Or if they're at 21 and Jackson Dart is there, I got to think they have to have a conversation about it. Kaboom.
No conversation.
None at all?
What I've gleaned from this past weekend is that they're not interested
at all in any quarterbacks
first round quarterbacks. I mean, if you get to 21 and Shedeur Sanders is there, then you might be able to make a trade. I don't think they're interested at all at a quarterback in the first round. And you know, I was talking to Omar and I was just making a joke saying, you know, if it was up to Andy White, he would go with D-line, O-line in the draft. He goes, yeah, it's probably what he would do. I truly believe Derek Harmon is the guy you'd have to circle right now for the 21st. Because even though Grant might be a better college player, I don't think
Grant from Michigan.
I don't think he fits what they want. I mean, Tomlin said it again. You just don't use typical nose tackles like you normally do. He needs to be able to bounce outside. Can Grant do it? Probably. But he's probably not going to be a star if you move out there. First rounder, you better get a star. You better get a 10-year pro. I think Harmon would be that guy that would fit in at 21 and fit into their scheme.
What about the idea of moving back? Because, again, I'll use the Field Yates mock draft that just came out yesterday as an example. Harmon went 28th overall in that one. There is a chance that they could maybe move back a few picks and still get that guy if that's the one they like. And maybe, I mean, it's got to kill Omar that they don't have a second-round pick. They already spent it on DK Metcalf, which is a hell of an addition for a second-round pick. But I got to think it's going to kill them to you know, draft Thursday night and then sit around most of Friday night until it comes around to them at, what's it going to be, 80-something before they finally get to make a move on Friday.
If it would be, it would be late second. I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, the Steelers are hosting Caleb Johnson today. So there's – what's he – what are we looking at, third, fourth round maybe for him? He's the one who would fit right in there, I do believe, of you have to keep an eye on running back from Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Gavin Bartholomew in the house, too.
Well, they got to have their pick guys.
And Matthew Gold, Mr. 4.1.
He's not making it to a point where they can take
it. I know. People look at that speed and get enamored by it, even though he's not as accomplished as some of those other receivers. You definitely keep a guy on eye on a guy like Caleb Johnson, and I don't know. Definitely third. It would be a third. Late two, maybe. Late second day, early third day. But I'm still pretty – I wouldn't be it depends how it breaks. And I should get a shirt that says depends how it breaks. But if you do not have the offensive or defensive lineman in those first 20-some-odd picks, I mean, you can go with a running back if Genty is there, which I don't anticipate.
There's no way Genty's like maybe 21.
Just like I think it's a moot point of even talking about quarterbacks because I don't think any of those guys will be there. You're talking about moving back. When was the last time they moved back in a first round? Like Santonio, maybe?
Was Santonio was a move up, wasn't it? Or did they stay put to take Santonio?
No,
sorry.
They definitely drafted. They definitely moved with Santonio. I thought they moved back to get him. I know for sure they moved back to get Casey Hampton. Once again, that's 25 years ago.
Yeah. I guess my point is if you're willing to move back, you might be able to nab the kind of capital that allows you on Friday to move back into the second round.
I think
right?
The capital. I mean,
well, you're talking about next year's picks. We're back to the comp pick story.
Fine. That's fine. You take next year's third round pick, next year's fourth round pick, package a third and a seventh, and move up to two. Then you replenish it with next year's comp pick. I mean, that's always an option, but that right guy is going to have to be there. I wouldn't put it past him because I do think they would love to get into the second round, back into the second round at some point, but I just don't think that entails moving out of the first or back in the first.
Why's Brian Garrett got to do that to you? Kaboom, don't sleep on Jalen Milroe. No, literally don't sleep. Shots fired.
Milroe, I mean, sure, fourth round. If he's there, good. I'll take him fourth round.
He won't be there fourth round. I agree. I think that's where he belongs, but he won't be there. Somebody will take him. Somebody will take him late two or early three.
Yeah, I mean, this quarterback class isn't very good. I mean, do we even know how next year's quarterback's really going to be like? Maybe it looks like it's going to be a lot better, but
yeah, there's no way of knowing for sure. Arch Manning could go out there and look like crap or blow out ACL. Same thing could happen with Drew Aller. He could throw more terrible picks in the middle of the field in important games like he did against Notre Dame. Who knows?
Drew Aller. You always have to bring up a Penn State guy.
No, I don't. I bring him. It has nothing to do with him being a Penn State guy, actually. It has to do with him being a quarterback that people are talking about as a first rounder in next year's draft. Who was one game, probably one pass away from being talked about as a second day pick this year, had he decided to come out. If he doesn't throw that pick at the end of the Notre Dame game, people are talking about him in the second or third round this year, had he decided to come out in the draft.
Probably the worst pick in the history of the
school. And completely out of character for the way he had played all year. It still makes me sick to my stomach.
That could have lost you the national championship if you look back. I don't know. Ohio State was a buzz at the time, but who knows? But you guys can't beat Ohio State, so it didn't matter anyways. But hey, you got volleyball and
hockey, buddy. Frozen Four this weekend, buddy. Frozen Four. Wrestling, volleyball, hockey, a well-rounded athletics department. Well-rounded.
Who are they going to play? Are they going to play Bemidji State or something in the first round?
No, they play Boston. Jesus.
Baston.
Hey, look,
gymnastics finals?
What's that?
Who you got in the gymnastics finals?
I don't have anybody in the gymnastics finals.
Well, George is out in Seattle, and that's where Mike Tomlin is, so.
Oh, well, his daughter, right? Doesn't she compete for Georgia?
Yeah, she's I believe she's taking putting a couple of events out there.
Good for her.
So
there was one more thing I wanted to touch on, by the way. And we also, before we wrap up here, have to thank our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village, firstandgoalsports.com. They provided that autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque that Larry in California won.
Larry Yellen in California
won. They provided the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey that we just gave away the other day. And now I misplaced his name. What was his name? Was it?
I wasn't there. Do you remember? I was.
Yeah, I know. You were talking to Omar. You were doing your job. But we thank them. And they are cooking up something really, really good for our next giveaway. And I'm going to just.
I was in there. I told you. I told the guys I was in there last week.
What'd you tell them?
I talked to Mark. I talked to Mark.
He take care of you?
Oh, I was asking about his visitors. And he said Max Talbert, every time he comes there, it's just a huge, huge event. That's so Yinzer, so Pittsburgh. A guy that had one goal. It was quite important.
Well, one goal. He scored.
Quite important. And one signature move, and people are lining up down the food court to get him.
Why you got to hate on Max Talbot?
You know, what I'm saying is, of all people that draws crowds, it's still Max Talbot 18 years later.
Because he connected with the fans. He was gritty. He was a grinder. He worked on that, you know, depth lines, big goals in the playoffs, the shush in Philly. All of it, man. Superstar treatment. All of it.
I understand it, but what other city would it's multiple times he was there. Multiple.
Yeah, because he's a good dude. And I think you're missing the point. It feeds itself. It's a cycle. The reason Max Talbot still enjoys doing things like autograph signings or getting out to see people at games and stuff is because he likes to be around the fans and he likes to be around people. He's a people person, unlike, you know, you. And that's why people attach themselves to him, because he is so gregarious. And so it's this cycle of he's great with people. People love him because he's great with people, and around and around and around we go. People love Max Talbot. It helps. Oh, by the way, when you've scored a Stanley Cup winning goal, and been a part of some of the most iconic moments in franchise history, at least recent history, last 20-year history.
All I got to say is, Gino, take the jug.
Gino, take the jug.
Gino's like.
That's a young Gino, too. Which, by the way, Yoey wrote a great piece. I know you're not going to stand for complimentary words for our friend Josh Yoey.
No, more of where he works at, but more than him. But go ahead.
Anyway, he wrote a great piece about Gino the other day. Go check it out. I won't say where you need to check it out, because Mark still gets mad when the name gets mentioned. But go check it out.
For good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Deserved. But it's a great piece about Gino as his career sort of comes to an end here in the last year or two. It was kind of nostalgic and kind of sad at the same time. But anyway, it was good stuff by Yoey. Yoey's a good writer.
Two real quick questions, non-football sports related. Do kids nowadays still flip off people? And do you flip off people other than when you're in your car? And when you're really mad, do you do the
what, lay on the horn?
No, you give him like the couple of wiggles.
The aggressive.
Yeah. Does the middle finger exist outside of a vehicle?
That's a great question. Yes, because where did I see it? It's sporting events. I think you have to.
Okay.
You have to disqualify sporting events. More of a... Where did I see it? Oh my God! It was a. It was a recent game. I can't remember now. It was something I saw in the past week. Sorry, my memory sucks. But somebody was getting the birds, like double birds. Or no, it was not a sporting event. It was wrestling. That's what it was. It was during Raw. Maybe Dominic Mysterio gets them all the time. Where were they? They were in London. Somebody was coming down. Oh, it was Logan Paul. Sorry, it was Logan Paul on Raw. Walking down the runway, and literally like every third person lined up along the barrier from 6 to 60 was giving him the double birds. Like, people love to hate Logan Paul, which, credit to him, by the way. He's done a great job at that.
That should be a great match, too, I think. Two high-flying, technical.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit if they kill themselves.
But they both do it so well. Like, you never watch, and this is, again, credit to Logan Paul. I know people love to hate him. As a character, he's fun to hate. But, like, he does these spots, and, like, you never really see people at any point in a position where they could get seriously hurt. Same could be said for AJ Styles, obviously, and he's been doing it for 20, 25 years now. But, like, you never see a spot, an AJ Styles or Logan Paul spot go and walk away from it and go, ooh, like, wondering if somebody busted a neck. Like, they're very good technical wrestlers.
That one's going to steal the show. That's going to be a low key, like, wow, that was a good match.
You might be right about that. I'm also curious to see what they do with Rey Fénix, who I guess is supposed to debut tomorrow night. Is it a Fénix Penta thing? Do they separate the luchadors, let them each have their own thing? I don't know. I know sometimes, especially back in the day, they would want to put all the luchadors against each other, which made for really good matches, but the storyline sometimes got stale, and you'd much rather have, I think, a Mexican wrestler going up against somebody different in style and get a different storyline. Like, I think it might end up being a fatal four-way for the IC title eventually at WrestleMania if we get Breaker, Dominic, God, why can't I remember his name now? Dear God.
You should bring the old cruiserweights back. Forget the luchador. Just the old luchador. The Bischoff. I don't even know. Bischoff, I think, takes credit, but I don't know if that's really his idea of the cruiserweight division.
No, but it's similar. Like, when you get Dominic and Braun Breaker, I understand, isn't a cruiserweight. But you get Dom, Braun, Penta, and who's the fourth one in that one that I can't freaking think of now?
What's his name? Alpha Academy. What the hell's his name?
No, not El Grande America.
No. What's his name? Kurt Angle's kid.
Yeah, Grande Americano.
I don't even pay attention to that.
No, it's the same.
I know, but I don't call him Grande Americano.
No, Finn Balor is going to end up being the fourth in a fatal four-way for the IC title, I guarantee you. Anyway, enough wrestling talk. You can watch SmackDown tomorrow night. Go read what Kaboom wrote up from Raw the other day as well, as we're on the road to WrestleMania. Yeah, from the Gulf of America, Grande Americano. It's so stupid. Chad Gable. I couldn't place the name, and neither could you. Anyway, real quick, I presume you saw this yesterday, because I think you responded to my tweet about it.
Never presume anything when it comes to me.
Fair point. Jackson Merrill, the Padres outfielder who finished second in National League Rookie of the Year voting last year, got a big fat extension from the San Diego
Padres. I got some opining to do on that, but go ahead.
Opining to do on Jackson Merrill or what I said contract came out?
I don't care about Jackson Merrill.
9 years, $135 million, with bonuses and options and everything kicked in. It could be somewhere north of $200 million over 10 years. My immediate response was the Pirates need to drop everything they're doing and offer Paul Skeens 10 years and $250 million. Understanding Paul Skeens, if he waits and hits free agency in a couple years, is going to make twice that probably. Yeah. He's probably going to get, like, he'll get 10 years from somebody else, depending on his health. If he's totally healthy and pitching like Skeens is capable of. Again, the Pirates won just their second game of the year yesterday. Oh, by the way, Skeens was pitching. He'll command north of 40, if not 50 by then, by the time he becomes a free agent. Nonetheless, if you're the Pirates, you still make the offer. You still try. And if he says no, fine. I don't blame Paul Skeens for saying no. If you're the Pirates, you say, hey, we tried to lock Paul up when he was in his first full season in the majors and give him a big, big deal, understanding that it wouldn't be worth at the end of the deal what his value may be, but it would definitely be buying out some low income years. And you at least make the offer. And if he says no, he says no. That's fine. No hard feelings. But you at least try.
I don't. You don't waste your time. I mean, first of all, Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens are on two different levels. Jackson Merrill, at best, is above average player. At best, Paul Skeens is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, at certain points last summer, Jackson Merrill, people were talking about him maybe stealing the National League Rookie of the Year award from Skeens.
But he's
a very good ball player. But you're right, Skeens is next level.
Mining part about this. Maybe if I am Paul Skeens, I might entertain it for a minute if the offer's right. If I can get out from under, say, 5 years into it so I can go make the big money, basically buying a year or two on the back end of it, yeah. But if I'm Paul Skeens, I'm looking at this organization saying there is zero chance we're winning. There is zero chance they want to win. So why in the hell would I want to stay here and help this franchise when I can go somewhere else, win, be a star, make tons of money? Now, if there was at least a little sense of them trying to win, maybe he's that type of a guy that says, okay, I'm going to actually give it a shot here. But
I have a hard time disagreeing with a lot of what you're saying. If I were Paul Skeens and I knew the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and more importantly, the recent history, i.e. this offseason when they didn't really do anything, I would feel the same way. I would look at it and say, do I really want to tie myself to this ball club if they're not going to show any level of commitment to getting better outside of trying to sign me? I totally get that. But I also think there is a world where if you go to Skeens and say, listen, you are the face of the franchise and will be for at least the next decade, and we will build around you. You can laugh, and I don't blame you for laughing. It's track record, right? It's show me, don't tell me, right? It's actions before words. Which is why they should have gone bigger this offseason to prove it to Skeens that they were legitimately serious. And now they've got to wait another offseason or until the trade deadline, a trade deadline which they probably won't be involved in now unless they're giving assets away. But they had an opportunity, and I still think that opportunity is out there if they could prove to Paul, however minute it may be. See how close together my fingers are right there? However minute that possibility may be, that you could convince Skeens that he is the cornerstone and that you're going to build around him if he's willing to sign long-term, and long-term at a rate that would be record-breaking for the Pirates, but that would be pretty big underpay towards the end of the contract for a pitcher of Skeens' caliber.
Yeah, plus there's always that thought of an injury, but I just don't think that that would be anything that he would want to do. And what's he under contract for, really? When is his contract up?
I mean, I think they have three more. Hold on, I'm going to double check. I believe
what I'm saying is to get anything out of him trade-wise, you got to move him a year or a year and a half before that, like they did Garrett Cole, too. So the window is like this with Paul Skeens right now. You got about 2, maybe 3 years before you got to move on from him.
They have him for 4 more years after this year. So
okay, 4 more years.
Which under control, under probably, arbitration control for the final
three. Probably years. Have to move him a year and a half before that. So you got...
So you've got three and a half years of Skeens left. You trade him in the middle of 28.
That's all you got. And there's nothing that this organization has that tells me, even if you put a ton of money into it in 2 or 3 years, that they're going to be anywhere near a contender.
So you're saying you don't, this is interesting to me. You don't only not trust the ownership. You don't trust anybody, the ownership, whoever it may end up being, would bring in to run the ball club, even if they committed to spending more money. Because, see, I look at it differently, where I just don't trust the ownership to spend the money or give management the money they need to spend.
Yeah. But you can't really rip on a guy like Cherington because he's so limited in what he's able to do.
Right.
I guess you can rip on Shelton because if you see such poor fundamental play anymore, it has to start with him, right?
Right. But so here's people say that all the time, and I understand what you're saying. But like, if you get to the major leagues and you don't know to hit a cutoff man, or you don't know how to track a fly ball, or you don't understand to not break for third on a ground ball in front of you, like, that's on a player, right? Like, okay, if you want to get mad at the manager for not benching a guy the next day because he made a boneheaded play, I guess you can. But like, that's not enough for me to say the Pirates don't suck because Derek Shelton is the manager. And I'm not here to defend Derek Shelton. They don't suck because Derek Shelton's the manager or because Ben Cherington is the GM. They suck because they didn't go out and add anything to a roster that's headlined by the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, but, I mean, whose fault is it for a guy sliding into third base and his cell phone falling out? Who's responsible for that?
Who was that again? That guy's not around anymore. Exactly. Who was it?
I mean, did you happen to see what the Tampa broadcast put up yesterday of all the Pirate pitchers they got rid of?
No.
And what they're doing now.
Glass now, Boz. Who else?
Cole. Yeah. There was like six of them. It was like a middle. You're talking about middle finger. I mean, in theory, they can draft the guys, but they just don't know how to keep them. It's just I am assured that they're never going to win in my lifetime again. It's just not.
If they could just sell Skeens on the fact that he could be the cornerstone of the turnaround. I don't know. If you're Paul Skeens, I don't blame you. You have no reason to believe that. Reason to trust
him. If he stays on this trajectory for 3 years, the guy's going to get $750 million.
So hold on, I'm trying to do the math. Yeah, probably.
He's going to get Ohtani money.
Ohtani. See what that showy Ohtani did last night.
Got Tommy Pham.
No, seriously, did you see what Ohtani did last night?
Oh,
walk off homer in the ninth. They were down the entire game, and then he walks off the Braves in the bottom of the ninth. The Braves are 0-7 now, and the Dodgers are 8-0. The Dodgers are going to win 140 games this year. It's going to be ridiculous.
Good. I was too busy at the flag football practice.
Yeah, I saw the video. How'd it go?
I was shocked the kid was able to catch a ball. I was like,
that's nice.
I mean, he's so much bigger than everybody else. He does look like freaking Darnell Washington out there.
You got to get quick feet.
We outran that little kid, even though he's probably.
You know what I was waiting for in the middle of that video? I was waiting for the stiff arm. I was waiting for him to just like palm that kid's face and just mush him right into the grass.
I do got a video of a little dig route over the middle.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis guy. I know him. I used to work with him. Melvin's kid popped him and knocked him to the ground.
Did he handle it okay? Did he pop up?
He got up.
Okay. All right. He's got that Kabali toughness in him.
I'm like, what? The best part about it is I'm videoing it. And once this kid hits my kid and knocks him to the ground, you hear me laughing.
You insensitive prick. Oh, my God. I think that's all we got for today, right?
I guess.
What else? I pitched a bunch of topics to you, and you poo-pooed me and said you wanted to talk about Marty.
I can't remember what you pitched.
Nothing else really good. Just I have a hard time rooting for Alex Ovechkin to break Gretzky's record because he's still Ovechkin.
Here's the thing. I think the Penguins can accept Ovechkin because it's not like they had a chance to get him. And it's not like they didn't choose a pretty damn good player right after him either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it worked out.
Well, I'm saying
everybody involved.
Well, we screwed this up because we didn't. No, well, we got a pretty good guy too. And it's not like we could have grabbed him anyway. No, it's
just, what I'm seeing, and when we talked to Nick the other night, for those that missed it, Nick Maraldo from the Pat McAfee show.
He had the quote of the podcast so far, big swinging dick.
Yinzer deck hockey legend Nick Maraldo was on Friday night. You could go back and watch it on YouTube.
He did this too.
He had the motion too, yeah. Talking about if they could get Rogers to announce his signing at Big Night Out. But he made a good point. Like, he's more appreciative now at this stage in their careers of what Ovechkin is doing, and of course what Crosby is doing at the same time. Crosby with the point per game streak that broke Gretzky's record, and Ovechkin now three goals away from breaking Gretzky's record for the most goals all time. Like, I still have, I don't know, maybe it makes me a bad hockey fan. I have a hard time appreciating when other teams' superstars who get compared to our superstars get celebrated. Like, I remember when Wayne Gretzky retired in, what was it, 99? I had some hockey friends who were oh my God, this is an amazing moment. And he was, skating around at the Garden, waving goodbye to everybody. I was like, screw him, he's Gretzky. Like, I'm a Lemieux fan. And for years, Mario didn't get recognized the way he should because of Wayne. Screw Gretzky. I've grown up a little bit since then. Obviously, I was 19 years old, but I don't feel necessarily that way about Ovechkin, but I kind of look and I go, okay, that's nice. Ovechkin's going to break the goal scoring record. I don't get all excited for it. I'm not going to stand up and clap and celebrate and remember where I was the day Ovechkin broke Gretzky's record. I'm just going to kind of look at it and go, it's Ovechkin. I'm a Sid fan.
You're going to remember it because it's going to be at PPJ, P, whatever that is, arena. That's where it's going to be. Another thing is, he's one of the old gray hairs, so you got to like that. My question is, why doesn't Sidney Crosby have any gray hair?
He does.
A little Grecian formula, a little Tim special.
Have you not looked at Sid in the last year and a half?
He ain't no Mac. He ain't no Ovechkin.
Well, no, but I'm 45. I'm totally fine with that. I don't care. But no, seriously, Ovechkin looks like somebody's grandpa. Sid has gray hairs coming in. You can see them.
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit vain to be able to do some Just for Men, just like Yoey does on his beard.
Crosby does not do Just for Men.
Yoey does on his beard.
And on that note,
Yoey, what are you doing?
It's with the final shots fired, I think we should leave it. The day after the man's birthday, you're going to disparage him.
Well, he's the one that tells me he goes into Giant Eagle and buys Just for Men. Jesus. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It grows out in a day with you. He's like a freaking Sasquatch.
He's a Sasquatch. That's nice. I hope he doesn't break it in Pittsburgh. That would be disappointing. Get it done before then.
Disappointing. Who cares?
I'm not here for it. I'm not here for some faux celebration of Alex Ovechkin like we actually liked him for 20 years. We didn't. We always hated him. We always will, because we're Penguins fans. We're Sidney Crosby fans. We're not Washington Capitals fans. Anyway, I'm being a big baby. Let's wrap it up. Do you think, real quick, before we go?
No.
Do you think we get any more from Heyman and Punk on Friday about what the favor is?
I thought you were going to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I still think that might be a WrestleMania
reveal.
Reveal afterwards is like, oh,
it's gonna be something good.
By the way, when was the last time Paul Heyman retweeted one of your stories?
Okay. Mr. Superstar of the Internet, Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They will take care of you. Everybody, enjoy the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Wednesday, massive guest you're going to want to be here for. We'll tell you about it on Monday.
Big night out on Wednesday, too.
Wednesday night, also big night out. But enjoy your weekend, friends. Thanks, as always, for supporting us here on Cabali and Mack. Have a great day.